Katvanganamarajashe Vihayusha Mohita Sarva Mohitya Mohita Tat Sarva Mohitya Atavanavayam Hari Sensation by His Divine Grace, Aisi Bhakti Vinati Sandhava. So the translations in order. Where's all your assignments? After being informed that the duration of his life would be only a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the Supreme Person, safety, the Personality of Godhead. Purport, a fully responsible man should always be conscious of the prime duty of the present human form of life. The activities to meet the immediate necessities of material life are not everything. One should always be alert in his duty for attainment of the best situation in the next life. Human life is meant for preparing ourselves for that prime duty. Maharaj Katvanga is mentioned herein as a saintly king because even within the responsibility of the state management, he was not at all forgetful of the prime duty of life. Such was the case with other great Rajarshis or saintly kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira and Maharaj Parikshit. They were all exemplary personalities on account of their being alert and discharging their prime duty. What was the prime duty? Keep listening. Maharaj Katvanga was invited by the demigods and the higher planets to fight demons. And as a king, he fought the battles to the full satisfaction of the devas. The devas, being fully satisfied with him, wanted to give him some benediction for material enjoyment. But Maharaj Katvanga, being very much alert to his prime duty, what is his prime duty? Inquired from the devas about his remaining duration of life. This means that he was not as anxious to accumulate some material benediction from the devas as was he was to prepare himself for the next life. He was informed by the devas, however, that his life would last only a moment longer. The king at once left the heavenly kingdom, which is always full of material enjoyment of the highest standard, and coming down to this earth, took ultimate shelter of the all-saved personality of Godhead. He was so successful in his great attempt and achieved liberation. This attempt, even for a moment, by the saintly king, was successful because he always was alert to his prime duty. Maharaj Parikshit was thus encouraged by the great Sukadeva Goswami, even though he had only 7 days left in his life, to execute the prime duty of hearing the glories of the Lord in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. By the will of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit instantly met the great Sukadeva Goswami and the great treasure of spiritual success left by him is nicely mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus ends Bhaktivedanta translation purport of 2nd canto, 1st chapter, 13th verse. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So Parikshit was very careful to achieve his prime duty. Katvanga Maharaj was concerned about his prime duty. The real prime duty is to get back to Krishna. If if we don't satisfy Krishna, samsethi haritoshanam, then we are not successful. And if we're able to satisfy Krishna, then life is our success. So, this satisfying the Lord, getting back to the Lord, this is the prime duty. We have so many others, don't write on your hand. Hey. You can get black poisoning. I know one family, the child died from writing on their hand. Went into the blood. So, Srimad Bhagavatam earlier it says we have desire for a healthy life, for self-preservation, and for self-realization. These are the things we should pray for, we should desire. But in the modern world, everybody thinks that the goal of life is sense gratification. I see grihastha life is supposed to be for serving the Lord together, husband and wife, creating a nice family, all to satisfy the Lord. The real goal is that together they should satisfy the Lord. But in the modern day, that's why in all religions there's marriage, to regulate the connection between man and woman, and so that husband and wife together they can serve the Lord. But modern day the idea, the materialistic idea, is just to enjoy. So people are trying to enjoy, but in spite of their efforts to enjoy, sometimes complications arise. That's the nature of this material world. If we try to please the Lord, then we'll be successful. But when we try to please our senses, Indriya Tripti, we just get complicated in the karmas of this material world. So there's so many stories about great rulers who were able to achieve great things, but very few of them achieved the prime duty of human life. So Aparikit Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days, so he asked all the rishis and all the sadhus present there, what is the prime duty of the human being, especially when you're about to die? I have 7 days left, what should I do? How can I achieve perfection? So all of the yogis and all of the gyanis and all of the karmis and all of the different kind of religionists gathered together, not only from this planet, but even from all over the universe. And they all discussed. If you do that process of Gyan, it takes a long time to gather the knowledge. There's no such guarantee that in 7 days you can get back to Godhead. Those who practice yoga, any of you ever taken a yoga course? So can you become a perfect yogi in 7 days? It takes some years, isn't it? Some years that someone can practice yoga. Maybe lives. Especially, I mean, not just Hatha Yoga, but Ashtanga, all the 8 practices of yoga. Just the Hatha takes years, what to speak of the other levels. Then there's Karma Yoga, working for the Lord or just good karmas. Anyway, good karmas don't give you the prime goal of life. You have to come back again, even if you do good karmas. You get a better birth, better material situation. So, Khadvanga Maharaj, after he was so powerful, he could travel to other planets. There are not so many kings, how many presidents? They recently went to the United Nations to observe the 60th anniversary. But you don't hear about them going to the moon or going to Mars or going, what to speak of, some other galaxies. Because previously they had the subtle sciences. They could travel, have interplanetary travel by subtle means. So even the king of this planet could go to other planets and help them in their war against evil. So there was actually Star Wars going on. Khadvanga Maharaj is a star warrior. And he was on the side of the Devas, along with Morgan and Indra, Ganesh, because all the Devas are together, Dharma, Agni, Vayu, all the Devas were fighting against the demons to keep the universal order. Demons want to go against the order. So sometimes they have to fight to preserve the order, the discipline. For some reason they asked, this king was so powerful that he was able to fight against demons. How powerful he must have been to be of value to the Devas. So after the battle was over, they offered him, you can have whatever you want, what do you want? He said, first tell me how long I have to live. Since the Devas have this vision, they could tell him, if your boss wants to offer you some gift, vacation, paid vacation, but you want to know how long you have to live to enjoy it, or how long your job is going to be for, so you can get double pay as long as you work for us. Then you think, well, how long will I work for you? One more week. What's the use? So when Maharaj Khadvanga, when he heard that he didn't have any time to live, one muhurta, about 45 minutes, just a moment, he said, well, I don't want anything from you. Thanks, but no thanks. I just want to go immediately back to my Krishna temple. And there I want to offer my obeisances to Krishna. And I want to surrender to Krishna. And I want to touch the feet of the pure devotees, who are their lives are dedicated to serving Krishna. This is what I want to do. Then I'll go back to Krishna. And one moment he went back to Krishna. That's why Sukadev Goswami told Prakrit Maharaj, don't worry, you have 7 days, that's a long time. Khadvanga Maharaj, he got delivered in 45 minutes. If you are able, last minute of your life, somehow you think of Krishna, and Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you come back to me. Once I was in a car accident, I was driving with one Grihastha, his wife and son. I and the husband were in the front seats, and the wife and son were in the back. And somehow the car was going off the road. And the car started to spin, rolling. So when that happened, I was really frightened and I started to chant, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And the car rolled over 7 times. But I heard that the husband crying out his wife's name and son's name. Naturally, he was worried about them. How are they? So at that moment, he was thinking of wife, family, he was thrown from their car. He had to go to the hospital, lost his spleen. So if we think that I'll just... Even he was a devotee, but still, it's natural you think about your family. Still he was protected, no doubt. It was a very serious accident, he was protected. But he himself mentioned to me that being a grihastha, I was worried about my family, and you being a sannyasi, you are just, or at that time I was a brahmachari. I heard you shouting out Krishna, Krishna. So, along with, that's why we have to also practice chanting. When we're in that dangerous time, another time we have to take shelter of Krishna and depend on Him. Our prime duty is to surrender to Krishna. But naturally, we won't think of Krishna if we're not having a practice to do it. Many examples in Shastra about people who at the last minute of their life they chanted Krishna's name and they were delivered, like Ajamil in the Bhagavatam. He was calling his son's name. His son he named Narayan. So he was calling Narayana,
Narayana.
Come here and take food. Narayana,
Narayana.
Sit down, do your studies. Narayana,
Narayana.
Let's go for a walk. Narayana,
Narayana.
Come here, sit on my lap. So always he's chanting Narayana, Narayana, but his son name, Narayan. His youngest son. When his time of death came, then somehow he was thinking of his son. So he called out, Narayana!
Narayana!
So if you're going to call, that's why everyone should have a spiritual name. If you call your wife's name, it should be Lakshmi or something. And if you call your husband's name, it should be some name of Krishna. Or your children should all have spiritual names. You all have spiritual names? Why not? I gave everyone spiritual names. You don't have the Katvanga blessing. So, that way if we call our family members, this is the ancient tradition. Now modern tradition is to have modern names that don't mean anything. Or just some Western name, Daisy, Dipsy, Doopty, Pinky. If you had to call those names at the time of death, I don't know what you'll get. So Ajamil, he was calling Narayana. Even by accident, he got liberated. He got a second chance. In the Padma Purana, there's a lady who was chanting Ram Ram to her parrot. At time of death, she was chanting Ram, she got delivered. So, Narayana Anta Smriti. This year, Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, he left us. When he left, he was chanting Hare Krishna, surrounded by his devotees. And so if you can be chanting Hare Krishna while you're leaving, your end is guaranteed. So that's basically the prime duty, that we want to remember Krishna when we leave our body. We want to be Krishna conscious. So Katvanga Maharaj heard he got one moment to live, then what I'm doing hanging around here with the devas? If I think of the devas at time of death, I'll go to the devalok. If I think of the humans at the time of death, I'll go to the naralok, human planet. And if I think of Krishna at the time of death, then I'll go to Krishna. So who we want to think of? It's okay. Krishna, Gauranga, Rama, someone in that category. Vishnu, Tatva. So that's what we practice. We should be practicing from what age did Prahlad say? Homaram Acharet Pragyo. 5 years of age. So the children, they can be practicing from 5, even before. I met one girl, 4 years old, she was already chanting whole chapters of Bhagavad Gita. I cannot chant a chapter of Bhagavad Gita, but in the childhood, the mind is like sponge, it can learn things very easy. Unfortunately, I was not born in a Vaishnava family, although I was born in a religious family, but not Vaishnava. So nobody taught me Bhagavad Gita chapters and slokas. But some of these children, you all know slokas? Very good. So they should learn slokas when they're young, and they can learn the meaning when they get a little older. So as soon as they can understand, it's all right. But at least they can learn the verses. Gajendra, he was a king in his previous life, and he, a devotee king, and he had learned the many verses. So next life, when he was born as an elephant, king of the elephants, Gajendra, when he was approaching his time of death, he remembered these verses and started to chant. So we memorize verses, it stays with us even in the next life. So there's one easy verse that we're told to chant in the age of Kali. The 16 words.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This is the prime duty. I remember I was sitting with Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta, and very aristocratic people, because Prabhupada was at that time very famous. He was the guru who had gone around the world and brought back so many chelas from overseas. I was one of them. So big industrialist and businessman and educationalist. And so many of the cream of India would come to see him. He was seated, and then they'd come in the room for darshan, for a satsang with the saintly person. And then Prabhupada would ask them, every one of them, please tell me, what is the purpose of life? You know, they wanted to see the sadhu get ashirvad, you know, something like that. They don't expect he's going to drill them. The Prabhupada, he wanted to change the way people think. So then he was asking them, what is the prime purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? So they would say, well, some people say this, some people say that. No, I'm not asking what some people say. What do you believe? No, but I don't. I mean, even these very big people, nobody, you know, they don't think about it. Huh?
Make money.
Yeah, maybe they have a prime duty to make money, to have nice children, whatever. These things are part of life, but that the real purpose of life is to please Krishna, to be Krishna conscious, to develop love for Krishna. All these things, that wasn't in there. Even they didn't have a clear idea what to say, what was the real prime duty. They know they can't say just to make money. Maybe that was their prime duty, but that's not. They can't say that. They have to say something nice, serving humanity. But they didn't really think about it. I should know what is my prime duty in life. They know Ramakrishna mission said this, and this mission says that, and some other mission said this, and that politician says this, and so everybody has so many. But what actually, not everybody decide, this is my prime mission in life. Most people are just going on with the flow. They look what everyone else is doing and they're doing like that. They don't apply their mind and think, what is my prime duty in life? Because if we understand the prime duty, the prime goals in life, what we should have, ultimately we should please Krishna with our life. What we should desire, Bhagavatam said, we can desire a healthy life, self-preservation and self-realization. Is the sense gratification is available even in the animal life. Dogs, hogs are described in the Vedas as Vibhujan, the eaters of
highball. Also, yeah, this off put there, he can also eat with them. He don't eat so much other things.
Eating the excrement. Animals that eat excrement. Vibhujan. And Rishabhdev, he told in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, that this happiness of the senses is enjoyed even by the dogs and the hogs and other animals that eat stool. You think you're an evolved entity, you've reached a high level, but if your life is simply meant for sense gratification, what is the difference between you and a Vibhujan? You and an animal. Prabhupada would challenge people like that. We should not waste our human form of life just for sense gratification. Unfortunately, the mass media promotes that. Very little promoting a higher purpose. So it's important for us to hear about great people like Hadvanga Maharaj. He existed so long ago, it's not hundreds or thousands of years. He's a Puranic figure. But because he achieved perfection in the last moment of his life, we still remember him. Devas are not able to go back to God easily. They have to wait till the end of the life of Brahma. Then with Brahma they can go back. When the universe is in Mahapralaya, it's kind of a final judgment. But if somebody becomes God conscious, even now they can go directly back. They don't have to wait for the final judgment, for the Mahapralaya, the final destruction. Some other religions, they talk about the final judgment. Where is that kind of final judgment mentioned in the Vedas? But what they don't know is that there's also every birth and there's also judgment. At that time, if we think of Krishna, we can go back. This is when the devotees, if they're going back to Godhead, the devas, they go beyond the planets of the devas, they go higher, higher up, up beyond Brahmaloka, beyond Mahesh Dham, Shiva Loka, and they go right into the beyond the Brahma Jyoti to Vaikuntha Loka. The devas cannot go that high. So So here we are insignificant human beings, peanuts in the universal power compared to the great power of the devas. We cannot compare not a grain of salt to what Katvanga Maharaj's power was. Even he was human being. He was superstar. He could deal with the devas on a person-to-person basis. People worship the devas, but they never see the devas. He was talking with them, fighting with them, one of their teammates. But when it was his time to go, because devas live for millions of years, being a human being, we have a lesser lifespan. So when Katvanga Maharaj's life was over, he immediately took shelter of Krishna and he went back to Godhead. Devas are still in their position. Prime Minister of Heaven, Minister of Fire, Agni, Minister of Vayu, he's back to Godhead. So it's very important what these teachings are for us. So in this purport, probably using prime duty, prime duty, prime duty. We have so many duties to our family, to our country, to our children. Well, not saying don't do, but do those duties in such a way you don't sacrifice your prime duty, which is to go back to Krishna. And see your family gets back to Krishna, see your children get back to Krishna. As a father, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, your prime duty, not to see just that your child gets nice college degree and takes birth again and again and again, but to see somehow they become devotees as far as possible and serve Krishna. They can have a college degree, they're not against that, but that's not the end of it. The real goal is how they can be devotees. Even if they don't get straight A's, they get straight B's, it's not the end of the world if they're a devotee. So then we have to see what is the propensity of our children, what each one can do. Someone may be straight A student, someone will be scientist, someone will be doctor. But everyone should be a devotee. But we can't force them, but we can only try to inspire them. Nobody can be forced to be a devotee. It's a voluntary thing. People may be born into a religion, but to be a pure devotee, that you have to decide. Bhakti yoga is voluntary. So this few verses is key to the whole Bhagavatam, because this is why Parikshit Maharaj decided to listen to the Bhagavatam for 7 days and 7 nights. He took very seriously this example by Sukadeva Goswami. He put his full faith in the teachings of Sukadeva Goswami, accepted him as his guru for this Bhagavatam Yajna, and he fully listened to the Bhagavatam, absorbed himself, asking questions. And when we have this Bhagavatam, what he did in 7 days and 7 nights, I think there's very few of us who that have read the entire Bhagavatam, 12 cantos, even after 7 years or 17 years. Anybody here read the whole Bhagavatam? Reading and studying and understanding it. Parikshit Maharaj, he was so intelligent. Whatever Sukadeva Goswami said, he grasped it, then he went next question. Like that, like a parrot, we can chant and some will understand just the slokas. But to understand, to chant it, to understand it, takes some time for us. We're not so fast like Parikshit Maharaj. very deep, so that our whole life can be spent studying the Bhagavatam. So some of you are getting tired. I came from India. It's almost 2.5-3 hours time difference. I was supposed to be here at 2:30, but my flight was delayed till 5. I was very tired. They had to push me to come over here. They said it's already 11, 12 o'clock Indian time. Time to go to bed.
It's 1 o'clock in
the morning. No, it's 1 o'clock. They said, no, go anytime, Monday, everyone's waiting. Okay, let's go. Took a shower. Very good.
Maharaj, mercy.
But after speaking of Bhagavatam, I go on speaking now. How many hours you want to hear? But some devotees there. You get energy. Bhagavatam is illuminating. But I have to have mercy on all of you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us that we should always study Bhagavatam, Niti Sevaya, regularly study. Once Lord Chaitanya went to hear a devotee giving Bhagavatam class, he liked the class so much, he embraced that devotee and said, you are the guru of the Bhagavatam. You're the acharya.